Do you want to know what a priest does? Just listen. Today I'd like to address the topic of priest as social scientist. This is in conjunction with the Year of the Priest, in which we are trying to give the many, many dimensions of the priesthood and how exciting the priesthood can be. It is definitely not one-dimensional. Social scientist, what do we mean by that? Generally speaking, when we talk about a social scientist, we are talking about a sociologist, a psychologist, and an anthropologist. These are the three categories that I normally think of and have worked in dealing with social science. Sociology deals with the study of people, the demographics, how many people we have here, there, things like the cultures they come from, the age of people. It looks at all of the social variables that make up human society. Psychology, on the other hand, looks at attitudes mostly, how people think about things, how they feel about things, their satisfaction with things, whether they think things are adequate or not adequate. In anthropology, well, that looks at the inner workings of, say, a place like down in the Bible Belt, and how people act, what are the different traditions they have, what types of events they have that make up their culture. That's it in a nutshell. How does a priest become a social scientist? Well, for most of us, I include myself, it sort of happens. It's not something that you go into the priesthood and design that you're going to be there as a social scientist when you're ordained. I happened to go to Notre Dame to study for education, and while there, I was given a TA, a teacher's assistantship, and with that, I was asked to do research. And there is where I learned sociological methodology, how to design surveys and do interviews and all of the things that go into sociological studies. I must say that it happened. It just was not something that was planned for. And I would say that probably most priests who took up the area of psychology and a few that were in anthropology and the few in sociology would say that this was not what they studied for in the seminary or even thought about. But as time goes on, God moves us in different directions, and all of a sudden we are there in this particular field. I have spent most of my priesthood, some 35 years, doing social science research. And I will tell you the story because of where it led me and how I see it as a very important part of church. When I went to Notre Dame, I ended up in a research department as part of that TA, working off the TA, the teacher's assistance money that I was getting. And they taught me how to design questionnaires, how to go out into the field and look at what was happening and then assess it. And look at what we call the variables out there. What is causing what? Cause, effect was the nature of most of our research. And what it brought, what it did for me was that after I had done this work at Notre Dame, I realized that the church could really use this in a much more profitable way. So often we fly by the seat of our pants, our common sense approach. And in many times, it's valid. But there are other times when you have to take down the numbers. You have to see exactly where people are at, how many there are, what they're thinking, how they're moving in their lives. And the better we know this, the better we can minister to them and serve them. And so I began to realize that this was a very important discipline for the church. After I left Notre Dame, I went to a college, Illinois Benedictine College, and set up a little research department. I must admit, the bishop was very good to me, but he told me straight out, "I don't know what you're about." After 5 years there, I was asked to go to Washington, D.C., the bishop's conference, and there I was asked to set up a research department. Because the bishop's conference did not have the computers and the sociological hardware that's needed to do studies, I did most of my studies at Catholic University, at what at first was the Boys Town Center, and then became the Life Cycle Institute. What does research of this type look like when you're a priest? Well, one of the first studies that we conducted was on religious education. And what we did there was to look at all of the things that DREs, as we call them, Directors of Religious Education, were experiencing, how successful they were and how unsuccessful they were, the numbers they were dealing with in terms of children, students, and also teachers, and what was the relationship between teachers and students, and what was effective and what was not effective, and oh, the many questions we asked. It was a very good study in the sense that it gave us a profile, a picture of what is out there in regards to religious education. From there, we moved on to other studies. We studied youth ministry, which was very popular at the time. We had the Year of the Youth. And we also studied campus ministry and what is going on in campuses and with campus ministers. And we found that there were a number of good campus ministers out there who were doing a great job. And although they complained that they weren't getting all of the perks that they should, or weren't getting all of the, the respect that they should, when we asked them, well, would you want to leave this job? Oh, no, we love it. And that was one of our findings. They loved it even though they didn't feel they were getting all of the respect and appreciation that they should. And we concluded that one of the reasons was that campus ministers are their own person. They're with young people, which keeps them young and lively. And they sort of sail their own ship. They're the captain. And that's a nice feeling of freedom. That was one of the outcomes of that study years and years ago. We also studied the shortage of priests way back in the 1980s. It was a study that was not appreciated by all because who wants to hear bad news? And yet, when we went back over that study to confirm what we had found, we were not off more than one percentage point. We were actually below that. It was a finding that, it came true. And unfortunately, the shortage we predicted came true, and it came true in the very diocese that we predicted it would come in. And by the way, that's part of being a social scientist. They do like to shoot the messenger, because scientists of this type are always asking questions, they're always probing, and of course they're looking for problems. In fact, when you write up a proposal for a survey or whatever, you always start out with the problem. And that is part of being a social scientist. In the work of social science, I came across other wonderful social scientists. Father Joseph Patrick, who's dead now, a Jesuit at Fordham University, did tremendous work with the Puerto Ricans and was highly esteemed by them. And if I'm not mistaken, a church or a university was named after him in Puerto Rico. And then there was Joseph Fichter, who was also a Jesuit, who did a lot of work on priests and where that situation was in his day, which was quite a few years back in the 1980s, 1970s. And of course, Andrew Greeley, who did a tremendous amount of work in sociology and was very critical of certain things in the church, which made many in the church critical of him. And so he became a lightning rod. Again, that goes with the territory of being a social scientist. I would say, looking back over all of the studies that we were involved in, and I believe it's more than 100 national studies. We did studies on the permanent diaconate. We did the first studies on the permanent diaconate. And then we did the first study on penance and how many people are going to confession, what they feel about confession, what brings them there or what keeps them away, the difference between the way bishops look at a problem and the lay people look at a problem, and there's always a difference, as we found. We went into multiculturalism, and as Father Joseph Fitzpatrick, the Jesuit I just mentioned, told me one day when we were studying the various Hispanic cultures, "Gene, they're not on our doorstep. They're in our house." And he said that some 25 years ago, and how true it was then and is now, and still many don't see it. And that was one of the outcomes of that particular study. And then we did a study which we call the Oh My God study. We were asked to do a study of religious orders. It was found that some of them were being put out on the street. They were collapsing and there was no money, and They were being literally put out on the street. And so we were asked to take a look at what was going on there. And we realized that many of them needed help immediately, actuarial help, namely bringing in banks to find out how the order was operating and whether or not it would continue to operate as it was going, or whether or not it had to start banking money now, and how to use Medicare, so many different things, in order that our infirm and elderly religious would not be put out in the street. And I must say and give credit to the sisters, the nuns, they did a magnificent job, and it is because of them and then the religious brothers and priests that we have the collection for the elderly religious, who gave so much, and at the end of their life happened to see that it wasn't the same life that they started out with. Those are some of the studies that a social scientist gets into, and the worlds that it brings him or her into. It brings you into areas, you travel, you see firsthand what's out there, you interview and you talk to people. I went around the country recently and interviewed people, priests mostly, on the international priests we have in this country. We have an average of about 340 coming into this country every year. And what they saw is the plus, and what they saw is the negative of this new influx of international priests. If there's any one thing I learned in that study, it was that international priests are here to stay, and they will grow. And also that the priesthood as we have known it, even though we've had many different cultures in our priesthood, Irish, Polish, Germans, Italians, we're back to a multicultural priesthood, and it will not be the same as it was before. It will be much more Hispanic, it will be much more Vietnamese, it will be much more Filipino, and we will have a much different set of cultures ministering to our people. And as some complained, we don't understand them. Well, the accent, of course, was one of the big things we found that was the bugaboo, as we call it, in research. And yet, when I go to New York, people say, well, you have an accent. And I'm saying, an accent? Me? I'm from Chicago. We don't have an accent. And they laugh. And then I listen to them and I say, you know, you've got an accent. The question of accents in this country is common. It's common. You go down south, you go to Boston, you go to different parts of this country, and sometimes you cannot understand other people, even though they're speaking perfect English, but the accent. And that was one of the findings of international priest. A priest, a sociologist, if that were your bent, I say go for it. Because you study people. And all of a sudden when you stand up there in the pulpit or you stand outside in front of church, you begin to realize that they're not all one group. There are people with depression. There are people who are elderly. There are people who are single parents. There are people who are singles. And all of a sudden you realize that in this life, there's a sociology of people in which nobody is really the same. And the more you can understand the differences, the better you can minister to them. There are two things that research taught me. Number one is that when a person is in the social sciences and is designing questionnaires, they're raising questions. And when you raise questions, you elevate the level of education. Questions are one half the knowledge that people have. You raise questions that creates curiosity and inquisitiveness, and when you do that, people learn. And just raising good questions, one or two good questions, can set off a whole new wave, a whole new movement, actually. And so that is one of the things that I learned as a sociologist, and I'm sure most sociologists would say the same. A second point. Sometime back, I was looking for a good definition of prophecy, and I had studied the prophets, and we had a very good course in it, but I wanted to see if I could find something unique. I happened to go to the book of the Encyclopedia of Spirituality, and there, as I read the definition of prophecy, I said, oh my Lord, a prophet is one who knows his people. And the way he described it was that a prophet is a sociologist, and a psychologist, and an anthropologist. Meaning that in order for the prophets to really speak to the people, and get their attention, and also to hit the mark when they spoke to them, they had to know their people. And so they were really sociologists in the sense of they knew the sociology of their people. They knew who was who and who was doing what, and also what they were thinking from their actions. And so we often talk about a priest as prophet. Well, today it's not talked about that much. And I believe that one of the beautiful things about social science is that it does raise a lot of questions, and in raising questions, it teaches us about our human situation. And the better we know our human situation, and we know human beings, the better we can minister to them. If you have studied what it is to have depression, and you know it really well, and then you go out into the parish, and you meet people with depression, you can identify with them. And in identifying with them, at least you can stand by them and be there with them. And that in itself is caring. And as the Latin teaches us, caring and curing go together. And it's one of the ways that a priest who is a sociologist or a social scientist in any way, in the word of those sciences, that is the way they can minister. And so, you want to be a priest? Well, there are many roles. One of them is to be a social scientist. And boy, does it take you in many wonderful directions and really bring you close to your people. Amen.